We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I don't know if you've heard, but apparently former NBA player Lamar Odom may be returning to professional basketball in Spain soon. Apparently, he's going to try out for Pau Gasol's team. He's been taking a new product he owes the credit to, Balance 7. Balance 7 is a pH-balancing alkaline supplement drink. It's like vitamins or supplements in liquid form. Just 1 ounce a day, 3 times a day, and in a week, you'll see the effects. There's no denying it. Father Time is undefeated, but products like Balance 7 help as it allows you to hydrate and recover faster as opposed to other sports drinks and traditional water. This is just one of the many perks of allowing you to handle your wear and tear as an athlete. And we all know the less things you have to worry about on the field, on the court, or wherever, the better. You can see how Balance 7 has helped. And right now, if you go to balance7.com and use the promo code BLEAV, you'll get $10 off their 32-ounce bottle. The bottle lasts 11 days, which is the perfect amount of time to feel the pH balancing drink go to work. Again, that's balance7.com and use the code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, at checkout. I did. If it worked for him, it can work for you too.
At the 50, at the 10, at the 5, still going.
Look at him go.
The goal line, bullseye. It's a Buffalo touchdown.
Welcome back, y'all. This is your host, Kyrie Demos, and this is another edition of Bullseye, the UB Bulls football podcast. Today, we've got a great guest on, linebacker James Patterson of UB Bulls defense, you know, captain, and you know, done a lot of great things in this program. How's it going tonight, James?
Man, it's going well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, I'd love to be able to check in, you know, with someone like yourself who's really a vet at this point, you know, has come up through the ranks in the program and has been an all-MAC performer as well. You know, just for you, you know, 3 games into your senior season and, you know, being able to play in a new defense under Mo Linguist and Joe Coughlin. Just thoughts on, you know, what you've been able to take part in so far and, you know, how comfortable you're feeling in the defense.
You know, I've just been able to really call the shots of the defense and try to be the coach out in the field that that Coach Coughlin wants. You know, he wants me to be that guy that guys can rely on when things are messed up. And just as a defense, the things that we're doing each weekend, we're getting better with is just disrupting the ball or just running to the ball, communication, the little things that these last two games that showed up big, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot by doing little things like that.
No doubt, you know, that's so important. And especially I feel like for the defensive side of the ball, you know, obviously the quarterback runs the show on offense, but defensively, if you don't have a linebacker that really can, you know, get everybody in the right positions, get the right keys going for everybody and, you know, make sure everybody's adjusting when an offense brings, you know, something that's a little different, you know, I think it, you know, you're not going to be able to go far without that.
Oh, no, you're not. You know, you have to be a student of the game. That's something I really picked up this year and this past spring, because I know that I wanted to be the guy on the field to really to see like the no plays that are coming before. Like I can see like through key, I can see him through keys and stuff like that, through different stances, through different tendencies and stuff like that. And just having Coach Coughlin and Coach Mo, man, those guys have teaching us a lot, you know.
No doubt. You know, just talking a little bit about, you know, you mentioned the past two games. Obviously, from the outside looking in, we talked a little bit about this off air, but from the outside looking in, people may say, oh, man, UB's 1-2, you know, especially after the last couple of seasons that you guys have put together. But really, eye test-wise and, you know, just really evaluating, the team seems to be getting better each week. You know, what do you think you guys learned most from the Nebraska and Coastal Carolina games?
That we can play with anybody in the nation, you know. It's just that us as a defense, we have to come together more. And especially on the back seven, we have to be able to communicate nonstop, mad communication. That's one thing that the coaches emphasize, along with trying to create turnovers, you know, try to put havoc on the ball. Whether you take the ball out of the air or you knock it out of somebody's hands, you know, that's one thing throughout practices for both weeks that they want us to really do. You know, we're getting there, but we need to do more of it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's crazy to think, you know, both games really came down to a couple plays here and there. I feel like the Nebraska game really was, you know, a tight one that just the late first half sequence on both sides of the ball really affected things. And then, you know, even in the Coastal game, you know, just a few misplays here and there on both sides of the ball, you know, in the second half, I really think affected it. So, you know, like you said, you guys are just narrowly missing, you know. So I just hope that, you know, you guys can learn from those experiences and just use them moving forward to progress.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, just dialing things back a little bit, you know, talk about your football journey, you know, what it's been like for you coming up. You know, I know you were able to play in Maryland and have a real standout career at the high school level. And obviously, you know, being able to play with your brother at the high school level and then to be able to transition over to college. Just what was it like coming up?
You know, in ninth grade, you know, it was a group of us. You know, we work out from 6 to 6 every day that summer with just the winners. You know, another alumni from University of Buffalo, you know, guys that consisted of me, my brother, Chase Young, Cameron Sullivan Brown, names like that. You know, we worked nonstop to really try to become the best, some of the best in the area. You know, and just going through high school, man, those days are all something to remember because, you know, everybody really didn't know the high school that we went to, St. Vincent Pilate. They seen it as a school that you can get good education and terrible sports. You know, that's my mindset going to the high school was really just to change the culture along with my brother and some of my best friends, you know. And I'm glad that we did that. And Pilate is becoming one of the powerhouses in Maryland. But, you know, it's not there. It's not quite there yet, but it's going to continue to grow.
Absolutely, you know, and I think that there's so much pride that comes with that, you know, being a group that, you know, really helped turn something around and, you know, laid a foundation for everything. And I mean, hey, you've been able to do that with UB as well, you know, being on some of the best teams this program has ever seen. So, you know, for you, you know, what was it about UB that stood out in terms of, you know, attracting you to the school? Obviously, such a highly recruited player that you were at the high school level. But, you know, what was it that about UB that really stood out?
You know, it was like a second home. I visited UB, like, several times before I even got an offer, you know. And just, like, because they offered my brother as well. You know, they wanted both of us for who we are. And it's just, because, like, even though – we didn't really know what UB was when we met Coach Justin or Justin Winters. He really gave us a lot of gear for UB. And, like, that was really, like, the first college we ever really, like, we've known and that we received gear from because, like, as a kid, you see all the top schools like Virginia Tech or Maryland or Alabama, Oregon, and you don't get none of that gear. But when you get some gear from a college, you're like, dang, I'm going to rock this every day. Like, there's a picture out there probably on Justin Winters' Instagram of me rocking like a full UB gears, like just for like one of my workouts with him. And like, and like if I could find it, I'd probably send it to you. But
no doubt.
Man, it's crazy because like I knew then that like I probably would be going to UB. It'd probably be one of my top choices.
That's awesome. Now, so you mentioned it, you know, your top choice was UB, but, you know, what were some of the other schools you were considering? Obviously, you know, your ultimate decision was tied to what school accepted yourself and Jarrett, but, you know, what were some of the other schools that you were considering?
you know, any other school that offered me and my brother, you know, I don't know none of the schools off top that offered me and my brother, but, you know, it was really down to like a couple schools. I just probably named two off top, you know, Ohio or UB, you know, it'd be a whole different ballgame if me and Jared went to Ohio, but I'm glad that we chose UB.
No doubt. I mean, hey, it looks like it's working out great for the both of you guys.
Oh, yes, it is.
For sure. So, you know, for you, you know, a 2017 recruit, you know, coming into the program, and then, you know, you redshirted as a true freshman, but then as
a I gray shirted. I gray shirted.
Could you explain that process then? I'm sure a lot of people out there don't realize what that is.
So the gray shirt was initially for my brother, and I remember sitting in the office with Coach Lipo, and it was like, "We're gray shirt, Jared, and not you." But my like my initial reaction was like, "Nah, I'm not coming out without him. You know, I'm a gray shirt with him. You know, a gray shirt is you have to sit out a semester of school. You know, can't go to campus, but you're still gonna be on the team the next semester. You know, they had too many scouts or too many guys on the team. So me and my brother had to wait a whole semester and go play spring ball for our first semester, and then. Our freshman season, we're already a semester in. It's like a early enrollee if you say like a reclass or something like that. But
yeah, for sure, and it's a unique situation because it's like, you know, most kids that like myself, I redshirted, you know, as a true freshman. So to be able to go to the school, you know, really in a different time when, you know, you're coming in, guys are really kind of trying to get themselves back from the season. You guys are coming in fresh. So what was that fall like? That obviously the summer conditioning programs, it wasn't something that you guys were part of, but be able to have that fall of really just training and leading into the winter.
Oh, man, it was something that we took to our advantage. You know, one of our guys, Coach Page, you know, we still work on it to this day, and we're thankful for him. You know, he worked us out very hard every day and got us to the point that we are as mature athletes and becoming into, like, pro athletes and that the way we treat them, the way we go about it. You know, just going into that spring ball, I remember, like, it just felt like, dang, I really belong out here. Like, it wasn't – it was fast, but it wasn't too fast. Because, like, I'm like, dang, I can really play with these guys. Along with my brother, you know, every time he got the ball, the defensive staff was like, man, who is this guy? He's shaking the bacon, cutting the cross field against the ones like Khalil Hodge, Chuck Harris, Justin Brandon, Jordan Collier, guys like that. And some of the coaches were taking notice.
Yeah, that's important, man, you know, to be able to make that impact, especially in the springtime when it's really all about competition and, you know, really just laying the foundation for what the fall could be. And, you know, you mentioned it as well. You showed and proved that you, you know, belonged and, you know, coming right in, starting right away as a freshman, you know, 77 tackles as a freshman. And, you know, what was that experience like for you, especially being able to help the program get back to a bowl game for the first time in 5 years?
You know, I just had a chip on my shoulder. You know, they wanted to gray shirt my brother, and that's what I really, really took from it. And, you know, I used that as my motivation that they wanted to gray shirt my brother and that they really didn't see him as the type of player that he was. You know, they really just wanted to be a kick returner or a fly sweep guy. And, it's crazy because, like, ever since he got there, he always been doubted, but he had to work for it. So me being able to go with the twos and work my way to the ones, it was just – it's just like a more of a pushing thing for my brother. I'm like, bro, you the ones, this is that. I'm like, bro, stay patient because you belong there. Like, they see what you do every day when you go versus us or go versus the two. So stay patient. And being able to start as a freshman is a blessing. But, you know, you really have to put in a lot of work to really start as a freshman. You know, you have to serve the coaches that you know the playbook in and out. You're doing your job and above. You're running to the ball. Things like that. You're just making plays to make yourself undeniable.
No doubt.
Exciting news. Our pod is partnering with PlayActionPools.com this season to bring some interactive fun to the sport we love most. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everyone. Here's how it works. Sign up for our contest, Believe Football Pick'em, at PlayActionPools.com. And then get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between NFL and college football. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win a pair of electric sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. Again, go to playactionpools.com and sign up for the contest Bleav, that's B-L-E-A-V, football pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contests, go to playactionpools.com today. They've got Survivor, Pick'em, as well as a cool sportsbook style concept called Build Your Bankroll. PlayActionPools.com, your new home for all your office sports pools.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Jared. I'm going to get to him at some point. But, you know, just talking about that freshman season of yours, you got to play with, you know, one of the greatest linebackers this program has seen, too. And you mentioned him before, in Khalil Hodge. You know, what was it like working with a vet like him? And, you know, what are some of the tools to the trade that he taught you?
You know, it was a great experience, you know, just to see the way he went about it, you know, because he was a tackling machine. You know, you can take a lot of things from his game. And, just to be outside backer while he was playing middle, it was a great thing, because he taught me a lot of things, and he told me that I didn't need to be a freshman, I need to be a senior and just be the guy I am. And I think us two on the field together was very good at the time. And then from Khalil Hodge, I went to Matt Alkanowski, the guy who really, really, really knew the playbook, you know, and taught everybody for
no doubt.
You know, and that guy, man, he's the guy that created the playbook for Lance Leipold and them. And if they needed a question or something like that, they'd go ask Matt. So just to have two guys like that back to back, I mean, for me being groomed to play middle linebacker now, from last year to this year, or mm-hmm. a couple years ago to this year, man, it's been a smooth transition because of those guys. You know, they passed me the keys, and I'm just still driving the car and waiting to pass it off to somebody else.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, so, you know, fast forward then to the 2019 season, you know, you were able to, you know, put together a great season with the program as well. I Bleav the program finished 8-5 that year. But, you know, to be able to get the first bowl win in program history, I mean, you know, what does that mean to you? You know, obviously you talked about your time at Pilate in high school and being able to do things that were unprecedented at the high school level. But to really, you know, do something like that at the collegiate level, Division I level, you know, what does that mean to you?
You know, it's something that can never be taken away from me. You know, when they mention that we were the Bahama Bowl winners and Familia Bowl winners, they never can take it away from me. And, I can always tell my children and my grandchildren that I've been to a bowl game and I won it. You know, and they'll be like, "You're crazy, Grandpa," or "You're crazy, Dad." But when I show them the pictures in the ring, they'll start to be like, "Oh, he was the real deal." You know, and it's something that's bigger for the program. You know, to show that you can go to a Buffalo and be on national TV and win games such as that against other conferences and other schools.
Mm-hmm. So important. And, you know, I think back to that game. It's so funny. And I was at the gym, and I had forgot what time the game was starting. And I had just finished my workout. I looked over. I'm like, "Oh, my gosh. Like, I forgot you beast playing today." And I had to jet home. But, you know, it was great to see you guys get the – especially, you know, being able to enjoy it out in the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah, man. Hell, yeah.
So, you know, and then – so, again, just fast-forwarding again, you know, moving over to the 2020 season. Obviously, an unbelievable year that none of us will ever forget.
Yes.
You know, we talked about this at Media Day. I know you talked a little bit about, you know, just, you know, the jersey number, switch and everything. I know we saw Kobe pass. But just for you guys to go from, you were in spring ball, you know, winter conditioning had just ended. You know, you guys were trying to get your foot in with that. Everything shuts down. You know, then the summer comes. Then the MAC eventually says, "Hey, we're not going to play," to now we are going to play. I mean, shortened season, but you guys made the best. But just thoughts on, you know, what that whole entire process was like.
You know, it was an up and down type of process. You know, you had to really stay strong. And, you know, a lot of people say, "What are we working out for if we're not going to play this season?" And they really have no vision to see that we're really going to play. And then at first, I don't know what conference said it was going to start playing again. And when they start seeing like two or three other conferences behind that start playing, so that's when a lot of guys on my team was like, "Hey, we want to play." And a lot of guys in the conference was doing the same thing. And just using their voice to really speak for us and say that we want to play as athletes.
Absolutely. And it's amazing to see, because, you know, I feel like just the world of college football college athletics in general, but college football has changed so much in the last 2 years. Obviously, the NIL and, you know, all these different things, but also, too, like you just mentioned, you know, just the type of voice that you guys get to use now and just the influence that you guys have. It's really amazing to see that you guys are, you know, some guys may not use it to the greatest ability, but you guys really seem to be taking it and running with it.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, that's something my mom preaches, you know, whether you're using your platform for good or you're giving back in the community, you know, that's one thing that she really preaches to me, my brother.
No doubt, it's important, man. But, you know, again, just talking about the 2020 season, you guys had a phenomenal run and, you know, obviously just falling short in the MAC title game. But to be able to, you know, finish the season, the regular season undefeated, back-to-back bowl wins, you know, what was that like? You know, obviously so odd, very little people in the crowds, let alone if there were any. Just thoughts on the season you guys were able to put together and you know, just being able to really establish yourselves as one of the creams of the crop of the Group of Five programs.
You know, just to be able to be top 25 in the nation, you know, as being a MAC school, it was something that people at UB never, like, people who got recruited or at UB never thought to happen, you know. Unless you're a basketball, you know, basketball, I've done it before, you know. But football, you know, a lot of people really didn't think it was possible. But even on a short season, you know, it still counts in the books. A lot of people get extra gear along with it. But at the same time, just to have that run that we did, man, it was a special run. You know, we wish we could finish it way stronger than we did. But at the same time, man, I'm glad that we won the bowl game. And we still got to play them games, you know. And not playing in front of a crowd was weird. But at the same time, we just wanted to play football, you know. And to have that chance to really get back and play football again was a relief, you know, because a lot of guys were stressing, like, why am I at school? Do I have to go home? This is that. So it was things like that.
For sure, man, for sure. You know, and just talking about that, you know, to be able to, you really came into your own, you know, becoming an All-MAC player. And, you know, like you said, you mentioned transitioning over to the linebacker spot. You know, what was it like to be able to work under Coach Chris Simpson? Because, you know, obviously he had a major part of your journey. And, you know, we wish him well in Kansas and everything with Coach Leipold and their staff down there. But, you know, what was it like for you to learn under him? And how did he help you get to the point that you have coming into the 2021 season?
Oh, no, I was It was a great experience under Coach Chris Simpson. You know, he helped grow me to the player I am. You know, I'm thankful for him. You know, I met him at Eastern Michigan. We offered him at Eastern Michigan, and then he came to UB. So our relationship is pretty tight. But you know, I just wish the best for my Kansas. You know, flip the page, go see, man. He's pushing me every day. He's teaching me new things that I've never been taught before. You know, and he's just continued to add to my game, you know, scheme-wise and just technique-wise as well.
For sure, yeah. You know, he definitely did a lot of great things. I mean, for you guys to be able to lead the MAC in total yards last season, you know, I mean, he was obviously a major part of that DC.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But, you know, at the same time, we had guys in front that really helped us out as well, you know. So can't forget about the big boys.
Can't ever forget about the big fellas in the trenches. I know that's right. No. So, you know, just talking about the 2020 season again, you know, we briefly you've mentioned your brother several times and, you know, I brought him up as well. But, you know, someone like myself who's played in the program, you know, been around this program since I was a kid, but to be an evaluator and, you know, covering the team last season, like, you know, I knew coming into the year, hey, Jarrett is going to have probably going to have a tremendous season, you know, having the seasons that he had leading in. But he really blew up on the national scene last year, obviously, with the record-setting performances he had. So, you know, for one, you know, what was it like to be able to experience that? Obviously, it's one thing as a teammate, but that's your brother. It's your twin. And to be able to see him prosper after, you know, all the ups and downs, you know, throughout life. But also, too, you know, to be able to share the experiences that you guys did. Being able to play college football together, have as much success as you guys did together as well.
You know, it's not surprising. You know, I've been seeing them type of runs, them type of that type of play style my whole life. You know, it's something that I was not too surprised about. And a lot of guys on the sidelines, how is he doing it? There he goes again. There's that man. This is that. But at the same time, right. I knew what type of player he was, the type of plays he's capable of, and I just know that he deserves it all. You know, from the jump, because the way he worked, the way he went about it.
Absolutely, yeah. That was always the thing, and you know, I feel like people, you know, on the national level, we're always like, man, the way he carries himself, this and that. I'm like, man, you guys don't even know. This is every day. This isn't.
You know, this is every day. You know, he's a pro. You know about everything he does. You know, and I'm taking suit. You know, well, we're covering the same cloth, so you know, it's nothing.
Right. Right, exactly. You guys built differently, you know what I mean? And, you know, for you guys, too, you know, how have you guys been keeping in touch? Obviously, you know, it's busy right now with him being up in the league and everything, doing his thing with Washington. And, you know, how often do you guys keep connected?
Almost every day. He FaceTimes me every day. I FaceTime him. And matter of fact, this weekend, Sunday, he plays the Bills, so I'm going to be able to go to his game. You know, last week he was at mine. Now this week I'd be over here, so I can't wait.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, love to see it. Shout out to Jared. You know, we definitely got to get him on the podcast at some point. You know, just, you know, looking ahead, though, you know, talking about the 2021 season now, being able to come into your own again, you know, being a team captain and everything, running the show, really. You know, just, you know, what are some of the things you hope to teach to the young guys? I know you said you want to be able to pass those keys along, you know, as, you know, you wrap things up here.
Man, just work ethic, you know, you really got to work for it, you know. Everything you want is on the other side of hard, you know. That's what the coaches have been preaching to us this whole time we've been together, you know. Everything you want is on the other side of hard, so what are you going to do? The decisions you're going to make to really follow that action, so follow that plan that you set for yourself, you know. You have to do it every day consistently, you know. You can't just be like, one day I'm going to do it, one day I'm not, you know. That's the type of culture that we're building here under Coach Mo with the coaching staff, and that's one thing that the leaders are emphasizing to everybody else. You know, you can't be this guy one day and not another guy next. I mean, you have to be that same guy every day, whether it's gonna be a good day or a bad day. So you got to keep stacking the days.
Most definitely, you know, seconds become minutes, minutes become hours. You know, hours become days. You know, you got to just keep building on it. So that I love that mantra. You know, and that message overall, you know, just also too, looking ahead again, you know, obviously big matchup this weekend, last non-conference game against Old Dominion. Just thoughts on what you've seen so far, and you know, just looking ahead to the matchup.
You know, I can't wait. They're pretty good. They're pretty good bunch of guys. You know, it'll be a very competitive game. You know, just can't wait for the opportunity to play these guys. You know, being close to Maryland. You know, they try to recruit, but they ain't never offer me. So it's just right. Kind of a chip on my shoulder, you know. They ain't really offering, so they didn't even give me a chance to look. Along with Kevin Marks, IK, they ain't really looking at the guys either. So it's going to be some chips and some shoulders when we play against them guys. But can't wait to play against them. You know, they're going to be physical. They're going to be good. Things like that they go by. But I just can't wait to play them, you know. Can't wait for 6 p.m. on Saturday.
For sure. Yeah, and it's got to be interesting, too, you know, to be able to play another, you know, pretty regarded college quarterback, you know, with Mac Jr. You know, he was a guy that, you know, had a little success with UCF when,
yes.
You know, they were really at the height of their powers and everything. You know, one of the last things I wanted to ask you, you know, for you, especially being the quarterback of the defense, you know, you've had some – you know, tremendous matchups, you know, whether it was Grayson McCall last week, Martinez and against Nebraska, you know, just, you know, for you as a middle linebacker, you know, what is it like prepping against quarterbacks like those? You know, those guys are multifaceted, dual threat guys, and you know, they can do a little bit of everything.
You know, you just have to go about it a different way. You have to prepare like it's life on the line. By the end of the day, when you step on the field, they tie their cleats up just like you. They put on the same equipment. So you can't really be scared or you be a deer in headlights. So things like that. And you have to be confident in the way you prepare. You know, one thing that Coach Mo says is that preparation ends when the ball is kicked off. So once the ball was kicked off, I knew I was confident enough to go there and win some cash.
Most definitely. Yeah, definitely kind of, you know, they breathe the same air you do, you know, so you can't look at them any differently. So, and I feel like that's a mentality that, you know, guys that really do set themselves apart, they take that on, because at the end of the day, you know, the mind, the mindset, the mentality that you take in, you know, that will either propel you or derail you, you know, whether it's, you know, uplifting enough where it's like, hey, I'm not worried about those guys, or, you know, hey, I'm getting in my own head about this. So, all righty, James, one last thing, you know, before I let you go, you know, you guys have a ton of talent on both sides of the ball, but, you know, has there been either a player that's, you know, been an unsung hero that you think needs more credit, or someone that's really been a pleasant surprise to you, you know, as the season's gone on thus far?
You know, I'll say it's both the offensive and defensive line. You know, them guys are just doing a tremendous job. You know, you hear about all the skilled players, including myself, but them guys, you know, like the whole offensive line, my side of the ball line, like Wallow, J-Ro, Max Michelle, Taylor Riggins, Damon, Folsom, them guys, you know, they don't really, Calla Lang, Eric Black, them guys, they don't really get the type of position that everybody needs them to have, you know, especially with the offensive line as well. You know, I can name them. Let me see. I know I can name them. Let me see. You got Benji, you got Clint, Fuchs, man, let me see. Alon,
Gabe.
Yeah, and Gabe, you know, and Dre, you know, them guys really zero. And I'm gonna give another guy a shout out, Mullins as well. You know, he put off too. So all the guys deserves all the publicity in the world, because they do the dirty work and they don't really deserve publicity that you need.
For sure, yeah. I gotta show love to the big fellas. I actually played with Mullinich's older brother. So they had the whole lineage coming through the program. So, but no, I definitely gotta shout those guys out. And, you know, of course, people might want to be down on them because, you know, the last two games and some losses. But at the same time, too, you know, guys are coming to your own, and improvement every week is showing. And, you know, hey, see how you guys handle business this week and then get ready for MAC play.
Oh, no, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So, guys, this was, you know, again, another great, great episode. I love having you on, James, and I always appreciate being able to chat with you, especially, you know, as a former player, it's always great to be able to check in with guys that are in the program now. It's someone that's doing it the right way on and off the field. So, good luck to you the rest of the way. I wish you good health and good luck, man, with everything, man. Just blessings. So,
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Alrighty, guys, this is Kyrie Demos from Bullseye. This episode was brought to you by Bet Online. Stay tuned for more to come, and we will definitely be tuning in with the Bulls after their game against Old Dominion this weekend. So stay tuned, and horns up, y'all.
Beats.io.